Hi, well, thank you. You guys all got quiet too soon. I wasn't quite ready yet. I had changed batteries. Just want to say welcome to everyone that's here. Thank you for joining us today. A couple quick announcements, and then I'll jump into the sermon, is that I am really, really excited about our upcoming Easter egg hunt that we'll be having right out here in the front yard here. We'll have that March 23rd. Jay announced this. I'm also excited to show a few people in our church what it's like to actually smoke some pulled pork, and so we'll be doing that as well afterwards, and so we just want to encourage you to plan on. I don't know how many thousands of Easter eggs we're going to have yet. We haven't figured that all out yet, but we'll be having lots and lots of Easter eggs out there to have an Easter egg hunt, because, you know, every church should have an Easter egg hunt, right? March 23rd, Saturday, March 23rd. Hopefully, it'll be a day like today and there'll be no snow. So, that would be really nice. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. The last few weeks we've been working on a series in the sermon. This is interesting. Right as I start to, should I answer it? What if it's a telemarketer? Good afternoon. We do not have weddings in our own
facility. Sorry. Okay, thank you.
Why didn't you say, but I can marry you if you come to our church and then you can have it all at an on-site wedding in Jamaica?
I'll turn that off now so that doesn't happen again. All right, Matthew chapter 6. That didn't turn out the way I thought it was going to turn out, Pastor Jess. So, at 10, at 11 o'clock, yes.
Yeah, well, you're right, someone will be.
Yeah. I'm all off quarter now. So we've been doing a series of sermons called Better Choices, Better You. And so this idea is that when we make better choices, we can have better faith and better life. But it requires us to do better choices. It requires us to take a step back and look at this. And we've talked about temptation. We've talked about consistency. We've talked about all of these things about making better choices. Today, we're going to talk about devotion. Now, what a funny word to use in church, right? All of us here, if you're here and you're attending church and you're walking, you have some type of devotion because you're here. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. But it's interesting when we look at this word devotion, we can really define it. Devotion is defined as love, loyalty, or enthusiasm for a person, activity, or cause. And then Webster feels like they have to throw in the religious description to that also. And he says religious worship or observance. That is devotion. That is time that we spend. It's love, loyalty, and enthusiasm for a person. Devotion is not a question. Jay, you almost started preaching my sermon when you're up there. I just want to let you know. But devotion is not a question of if, it's a question of what. We're all devoted to something. Even an atheist is devoted to something. Jay asked, what are they devoted to? They're devoted to absolutely nothing. It's the truth, right? Where's their devotion? Their devotion lies to nothing. There's nothing there. And so that would be a hard sell to your child when your child's sick. What are we going to do? I don't know. Let's seek nothing and see what nothing happens. And if nothing happens, then nothing will be okay and we'll be okay. And then, no, that's not how it works. Atheism does have devotion. Their devotion is to nothing. The average person is devoted to all kinds of different things. Think about it in your life. What are you devoted to? What's your hobbies that you're devoted to? I, like this time of the year, I love, we tap maple syrup and I feel like that becomes my second job. And so we're tapping maple trees, making maple syrup. And that is a devotion. That's something that we love doing. I love doing. And so we do this. But devotion, again, is not a question of if. It is a question to what. Everyone in here is devoted to something. The question that we must ask is, what are we devoted to? What are you devoted to? Where do you spend your time and energy and effort, and where do you pour that into? Where is all of this energy and time that God has given to us that you pour into whatever you're devoted to? Jesus answers this question to the disciples in his Sermon on the Mount. He says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Jesus is telling his disciples, and he's telling the people who are surrounding him, to seek first the kingdom of God. He's telling them that their devotion should first be to that. Your devotion shouldn't be to anything else, but your devotion should be to him first and foremost of all things. And he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What are these things that Jesus is talking about? All these things that will be added to you. The joy, the comfort, the healings, the prayers, the time spent with family, all of these things are added to it. See, we make a huge mistake. And what we try to do is we try to make our devotion to God a separate part of our life. It's when we look at our lives, we can break our lives into, many people break it off and say, okay, what is my job? Where do I spend most of my time at? The average American, we're going to see this in a moment, but the average American spends about 55 hours a week on their job. And so we say, this is my job. This is where I go and do. This is what I do. This is where I go. This is the time and energy that I spend. This is what I put in there. And then we talk about, what is my hobbies? And then all of a sudden, we start coming up with hobbies. Tapping maple trees, right? Maybe it's horses, maybe it's farming, maybe it's whatever it is, your hobby. You have your hobby, and so that's a separate portion to your time. And so then we sit there and we say, okay, well, if you happen to go to church, or you happen to be a Christian, where do you go to church? Well, I go to church at this place. When do I do that? We break our life up into these little segments, these manageable segments of time. This time of time I spend at my work, time I spend with my family, time I spend on my hobbies, time I spend in any of these things, that we break them up in our day and we break them up in our week and we begin to categorize all these things. What Jesus is telling us in Matthew 6:33, and when it comes to devotion, is that he doesn't want a period of your time. He wants much more than that. And when we look at this, when we look at this devotion, this word devotion, we have to see that it is much more than just a period of time that we can spend. It's something that we give. It's something that we seek. So let's pray, and then we'll jump in. Pray with me, please. Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for just the wonderful gift of being able to worship you on a beautiful Sunday morning, Father. We thank you for life. We thank you for all of the things that you bless us with. We thank you for your sacrifice on the cross that we celebrated during communion. Father, we thank you for just all of the blessings that you give to us. Father, as we begin to talk today about devotion and making this better choice to be devoted to you, then Lord, help us today. Holy Spirit, I ask you that you just open our minds and our ears and our mouths and all of the senses in our body so that we can feel you and hear you and know that you are speaking to us here in this place. Lord, I pray that you just remove any of those hindrances that keep us from learning about you and growing closer to you in all things. Father, I pray that my words would truly not be my own, but they would be your words that you have spoken to us, and that we can learn from those things on what it's like to be fully devoted to you. We glorify you, Father, in this place. We honor you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I did some math this week, which is always a scary thought. Christy's not here, so I can't get her to double-check my math. That means, do you have to double-check yet? all right, so the average American, so we have 100, if you take up 24 times 7, that works out to be somewhere around 168 hours in a week. Right? Can someone do that math? Can someone confirm that for me? I think that I can confirm that. I know that's true. That's confirmed. So we have 168 weeks, 168 hours in a week. Every single one of you in this room has 168 hours in a week that you get to use. So let's break this down a little bit. The average American says that they work around 55 hours a week. Now, if you're like Pastor Chaz, Goodyear calls, you're working 16 hours. That's sometimes way more than 55 hours a week. But on average, the average American works around 55 hours a week. So if you take 168 and you subtract 55, someone with a calculator? 113 hours. So out of that 168 hours, you're devoting 55 of them to work. So now we have this, and so now we begin to see what's going on here. Do you know that it's not just work, though? The average American sleeps 50 hours a week. Some of you in this room are going, I wish I slept 50 hours a week, right? Some of you with small children are going, I'm lucky if I get 2 hours a night. Like my daughter, yes. Like my daughter right now. But the average American, 50 hours a week is what they say, the studies say, that you, an average American sleeps in 1 week. So can you do that math again for me, Jay? 63. So we're down to 63 hours. Between work and sleeping, you're now down to 63 out of 160. This is kind of depressing a little bit. But if we look at this, and you have 168 hours, now you've divided, you've taken your sleep and your work away, and now you're down to 63 hours. Let's go on. Do you know the average American watches around 28 hours of TV a week? 28 hours. Sermons, not sermon series that you watch online. That's not included in this. This is series, like Netflix series, like any Apple TV watchers out there, any football player, or any football games that you're watching. Oh, by the way, there's a big, I can't say the S word because that's illegal. NFL will fine me for saying that. So the big game is coming up next week. That would be included in that. 28 hours. This does not, by the way, Corey's not in here, so I can't give him a hard time, but this does not include TikTok videos. This is just literally something that we watch. So what's the math on that, Jay? 35. We're down to 35 hours. Now, let me add another wrinkle to this. You know, the average American spends 11 hours a week on social media. That's Facebook. That's Instagram. That's TikTok. That's, what is it, X now instead of Twitter. It's all of these things. That's 11 hours that we're spending. You're beginning to see what? How many hours does that leave us with now? 24. Got 1 day now. We're down to 1 day. Now, notice what I have not said. I have not said the amount of time that you spend with your family. I have not said anything about making dinner. I haven't said anything about a hobby or animals. If you have horses or dogs or cats or anything like that, you spend time doing all those things. And we can begin to see this, right? We can begin to see this add up. We got 24 hours out of all of these things if we are the average American. Now, I asked this question online this past week. What do you think the average American Christian spends on their faith every day? 15 minutes. I heard 15 minutes. I heard 5 minutes. The average American spends less than 3 minutes a day on their faith. 3 minutes a day. Now, let me ask you a question. If you're spending 3 minutes a day on your faith, but you're spending 11 hours in social media, what are you really devoted to? What does that say? Where is your devotion at? Where is your devotion? See, the truth of the matter is that devotion can be measured. Your devotion to something can be measured. How much energy, how much effort, how much skin in the game are you having in that thing? And you can be measured. If you sit here and say, I'm completely 100% sold out to Jesus Christ, but then you only spend 3 minutes a day on your faith, you better take a step back and ask yourself, are you really devoted to that? What are you devoted to? Well, devotion comes in many different ways, but it also comes in the way that we can see. Devotion is something that can be measured. If your faith is important to you, then shouldn't you be spending time in your faith? Shouldn't you be able to set back and say, this is the amount of time. My faith is important to me. My walk with Christ is important to me. So I should be able, and by the way, I'm not just preaching to all of you. I'm preaching to myself on this too, because my social media number is probably up along that 11 hours a week. And so I have to take a step back and I have to look at this. I have to look at my life and I have to say, listen, where is my devotion? What's the first thing? You know, I used to laugh because, before I had kids, and when I had kids, young kids especially, we'd wake up in the morning, we'd be like, I'm so thankful that it's just quiet and the kids are still sleeping and no one's dying, right? There's no screaming, there's nothing going on. Now I wake up and I'm so thankful that I woke up and that I can move my legs, right? They don't creak, they don't crack when I step down and those types, not yet at least, or not too much, I should say. The fact is that Jesus calls us to seek him first. Not second, not third, not last. He calls us to seek him first. But that can obviously be measured. And some of us sit here and we ask ourselves, you know, I laugh because I met we had a wonderful young lady that we're friends with, and I hadn't seen her in probably 3 or 4 years, and I ran into her at the fair this past fall, and she goes, "Oh, Pastor Jason, I'm so happy to see you." And I'm like, "I'm so happy to see you too." And she goes, "Listen, I just want to let you know that I am so devoted to the church. The church is the place. This is my church. Passion Community Church is my church. I'm so devoted to that place. That is the place I want to be." And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking in the back of my mind, when's the last time I saw her at church? And I begin to think about this and I'm thinking, man, it's been probably 3 or 4 years since I've seen her at church. Yet she's devoted to something. And I asked her, I said, "Well, when's the last time you heard me? Have you been watching online?" "No, you know, Sundays are hard for me to wake up and get the kids going, so I don't get to watch online that much." So, "Oh, okay." And so I began to just ask her questions. I'm like, "Well, what does devotion, what does being devoted to a church mean to you?" "Well, you're just there for me. When I need someone, you're there for me." "Okay, that's true." And then I began to realize that devotion in the world today is not measured in the same way that we see it. See, devotion today, we have this separation that happens between here and here. It's 18 inches, by the way, from your head to your heart. Do you know that? 18 inches. That's it. I know, I took a ruler one time and went like this. No, I'm kidding. When I'm down here, it's like, no, I'm kidding. But there's a separation that happens. And that separation is happening in our heads. We think we're truly devoted to something because it's important to us. We think that just because I say it's important, just because, but when reality, when it comes to it, when the truth be told, that devotion can be measured. And we should ask ourselves, am I truly devoted to that? Acts chapter 2, verses 42 and 43, one of the famous verses that pastors love to preach on. Isn't that right? Yes. We love to preach on this verse. Why? Because this is the new church. Jesus has now ascended into heaven. This is the disciples. They're so excited about seeing the church start. We always go to this verse because what? We want to go to this verse because we want to see an Acts 2 church. I've said that hundreds of times. I'm sure if I put him on the spot, he would probably say he has too. We all want to see this. Why? Because Acts 2, verse 42 and 43 shows us exactly what a church should look like. That's following Christ. And he says, Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles." And it goes on to say that, "And the numbers were added to the church daily." Now, why do I bring this verse up? Again, because pastors want to see this. We want to see an Acts 2 church. That's been my prayer. I pray this almost every single day. Lord, let us have an Acts 2 church. Why? Well, a church that is devoted to you. Devoted to, it's not, listen, I don't care whether you're devoted to my teaching or not. I want you to be devoted to Jesus. Because what I preach and what I teach is Jesus. It's not mine. It's not me. It's Jesus. That's what I'm trying to portray to you, what Jesus would say to us if he's here with us today. But we find in Acts 42 that they were devoted to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. The fellowship, what's that? Spending time together. Oh, by the way, we never even talked about how much time we spend with friends, right? In those 24 hours that you have left, how much time do you spend with your friends? With the people you go to church with. Yes, Brett, she is your friend. She's your wife, but she's also your friend. Just want to remind you of that, okay? But we have this time. See, they were devoted to us. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching and preaching. They were devoted to Jesus, but they were also devoted to breaking bread, to having time together, spending time with each other. The question could be asked is, when's the last time someone that you had a breaking of the bread moment with someone in church, right? That time of spending together. There's something happened when you have dinner together. First of all, it's usually good food. But second of all, it's just that spending life together, being together. See, when we're devoted to something, we find the time that we spend has something to happen. But see, this is what happens. When you truly become devoted to something, this is what happens. "And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles." awe and wonder fell on them. And signs and wonders were being done. So we have to ask ourselves, how can we be devoted today? What can we do today to devote ourselves to the ministry? How can we be devoted to Jesus so that when we look at these numbers and we say, I have 24 hours left, what am I doing with these 24 hours? Well, see, the mistake again we make is that let's not separate our faith. Let's look at how do we combine our faith with everything else we do. We shouldn't be just first known as a Christian or someone who works at such and such place, or one of those, whatever your descriptions of who you are is. We should be first known as a Christian who is an accountant, a Christian who works in the factory, a Christian who works here, a Christian who does this. See, our life should be, our faith should be incorporated with everything that we do. So that when you look at those numbers, you can say, I spent 55 hours on my job every single day, but guess what? Christ was with me on all 55 of those hours. By the way, it would change the way you look at social media, wouldn't it? The videos that you watch would change too. How can we be devoted today? We can first and foremost be consistent. Now, I know I said this a few weeks ago. We preached a whole sermon on consistency. But with God's help, you can be consistent. What do I mean by being consistent? Being consistent means that we are going to live for Jesus. We are going to be consistent in everything that we do and we say, that we're not going to ebb and flow. We're not going to have those times when I'm walking real close with Jesus and when I'm not. Our mind is fixed upon Jesus. Our mind is fixed upon the cross. And every step I take, every decision I make is influenced by that decision and not something else. That's what this is talking. That's what, when we talk about being consistent, that is exactly what we're talking about. We need to, again, be consistent. I said, I think it was last week or a week prior, successful people do consistently what other people do occasionally. When we are doing things consistently, when Jesus becomes our priority and we consistently follow him, it's going to change the way that we change, it's going to change the way that we make decisions. It's going to change the way we spend our time and where we spend it at. We spend time in what we are devoted to. If I were to, listen, I want to ask you this simple question. If I were to ask you today, if I won't put my sister and her husband on the spot here because they're newly married, so I don't want to say that. Chaz, all right. No, I'm kidding. Any of you guys in this room, if you spent the amount of time in your faith, that you spent, or if you spent the same amount of time in your marriage that you spend in your faith, would you still be married today? That's a real good question to ask. Because if you're spending 3 minutes a day on your faith, and you try to spend 3 minutes a day on your marriage, you're not going to be married long. I can guarantee you that. It's going to hit, the stuff is going to hit the fan, so they would say. If you spent the same amount of time on your hobby as you do your faith, would it really be a hobby? See, the question isn't really, the problem is that we, in our mind, have this idea that I want to spend all, I am so devoted to Jesus. I'm, you know, again, I get back to this young lady that I met at the fair and I think of myself and I want to say things about, but at the same time, I have to take a step back and say, am I really any different? Are any of us any really different? We say we're devoted to Jesus, but then when we look at all of our time and we do this tally, many of us don't want to do that tally because we know what the answer is going to be. And so instead of tallying it up at the end of the day, we're just like, that's all right. Jesus is going to forgive me. He's full of grace. That's true, he will. But he also wants to live a life with you. John chapter 15, verses 5 through 8. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. That doesn't sound right. That bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. See, I love this verse for a couple different reasons. Number one is that we have grapevines at home. And every year I have to cut back these grapevines and I feel like I'm killing it. I feel like I'm killing the vine. But I was taught at a very early age, the only way to get your grapes to grow really well the next year is to slice them completely down. And so you go down to basically just one little vine that comes up. It's an amazing event. And when I'm doing it, it's tearing me up inside because I'm like, I'm going to kill this. I know I'm going to kill it. But then every spring, something beautiful happens. New buds start coming out. A new vine start to grow. And then all of a sudden, we have these beautiful during the end of middle to the end of summer, we begin to see these beautiful clumps of grapes showing there. And as I do this, I can't help but think about this verse. Because I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, I am in him. See, what Jesus is saying is literally this. Literally, what he's saying is that if you want to survive, you need to learn to abide in me. If you want to walk this earth, if you want to be successful, if you want to do the things, then if you want to bear fruit, listen, who wants to have a grapevine that doesn't bear fruit? Who wants to have a fruit tree? I have a fruit tree at my house, an apple tree. It has not yet produced, it's, I don't know, 15 years old, and has not yet produced one apple. And I had a friend over at my house a couple weeks ago, and he said, Jason, the only thing that you could do is do like what you do with the grapevine. Cut the whole entire thing back, all the way back to the stump. And I'm like, this tree's been here 15 years. I've been shaping it, making it beautiful. It's all beautiful, but nope, we got to cut it back to get it to produce fruit. As I'm out there cutting this tree, I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to do with all these branches? Going to throw them in the fire and burn them. And it began again to reside in me about these things, this verse. See, what literally is happening here, Jesus is saying to us, if we abide in him, if we live in him, if we walk in him, if we're consistent in our faith in him, then he will make us fruitful. He will make us do these things. He will allow us to grow. And like the branches, instead of withering and breaking and being thrown into the fire, we can produce fruit that's good. Produce fruit that will be useful. So what do we have to do? We have to remain in him. More than anything, we have to learn to be truly devoted to God. We have to learn to abide in him. The New Living Translation says that if you remain in him, and I love that. I love that verse, remain. I like abide, but I also like remain. Because what it means, listen, when you remain in him, what does that mean? When times are tough, do you remain in Jesus? Usually when times are tough, it's easy to see people who have faith because they're praying, they're there. When times are good, do you remain in him? When times are just normal, do you remain in him? The truth of the matter is that most people can remain in Jesus when times are tough, but they have a real hard time remaining in Jesus when times are good or times are just normal. When you're not facing problems, guess what? Usually that's when we start to stray away from Jesus and we walk away from those things. But he calls us to remain in him. Remain in him, doing everything that we are. You're not truly remaining or abiding in him. It doesn't work. Life does not work the same way if we're not. Listen, we were created to be like Jesus. We are created in his image, in God's image. And so what he creates us to remain in him. He creates us to walk in him. And so we learn to do those things. And when we remain in him, life works the way that it's supposed to. You ever seen a tree branch that's only partially connected? What happens to that tree branch? It's going to die. It's going to fall off. The same thing happens for all of us that are only partially connected to Jesus. You're going to run into problems. You're going to find a disease. You're going to begin to rot in places that you shouldn't have been rotting. Why? Because we're only partially devoted to him. We need to learn to be devoted 100% to Jesus. This is a funny one, but be a branch. How can you be devoted to Jesus? Well, it's simple. Be a branch. A branch does not live independent of the vine to live. It knows a branch does not try to be the vine. What does the branch do? A branch accepts what the vine or root gives to it, and it begins to grow out of that. See, too often we try to be the whole plant instead of just the branch. You were never created to be the whole entire tree. You were never created to be the trunk of the tree, the canopy of the tree, and all of those things. No, you're created to be a branch. And a branch says, I accept Jesus. I know what he is. I'm going to pull what I can from him. I'm not going to try to be the leader of the world. I'm going to just try to be the leader of the household and be responsible for what God has given me here. Don't try to be everything. Just be what God has granted you to be. and that is to be a branch. Sounds funny, but it's true. But we have to learn to encompass our lives with Jesus. We have to learn to accept Jesus and have him be everything inside of us. When we encompass that and we understand that we don't have to be the creator of the world. We don't have to be the ruler of the world. We don't have to be all of those things. We can just be a branch. Guess what? It frees us up to be who God created us to be. It frees us up to then go and produce fruit, to do things good. We talked about the 168 hours a week that we have. Sometimes feel overwhelming, like we never have enough time. But guess what? You have as much time as a person sitting next to you. It's the most wonderful thing about time. No one has more or less of it. Everyone has the same amount of time. It's just what you do with the time that God has given to you that matters. It's what you decide to do with your time. Each and every single person in this room has to make a decision of what they're going to do with those 168 hours. It's your choice. It's not my choice. It's not his choice. It's your choice. He's responsible for his choices. I'm responsible for my choices. You're responsible for your choices. And when we choose to be a branch, we choose to follow him. We're making that. Finally, how can we be devoted? We can be devoted by making God and Jesus part of everything you do. God never intended to be a separate part of your life. He intended and wants to be your life. In fact, this is what this next says. Does he matter? Does it matter most to you? Does he matter most to you? Does Jesus really matter most to you? God shouldn't get what's left over. God doesn't get just what's left over. It's not, listen, I love the day after Thanksgiving because leftovers are wonderful. Thanksgiving, nothing better than leftover meal after Thanksgiving dinner, right? It's great to go back and revisit with that meal, but it's never as good as the first meal. It never is. God doesn't want your leftovers. He wants everything that you are. He wants everything that you have. He wants you to commit your life to him and say, this is who I am, this is what I have, and I'm committing myself to you. Oftentimes we say that Jesus matters most, but that's not really the cause. We fall asleep at night forgetting to pray. We wake up the next morning late to work, and so we're rushing, forgetting to thank him for waking us up that morning. We forget to read and have a relationship with him. We forget to do all these things, and we just forget that he's part of our life, and that's a tragedy. We should be having him first on our mind with everything that we do. We can be devoted to Jesus when he becomes the number one position in our lives. God doesn't want second. He doesn't want any other idols in your life. He doesn't want your job to be your idol. He doesn't want money to be your idol. He doesn't want your kids to even be your idol. He wants him to be number one in your life. Are kids, money, and job, and all of those things important? Yes, they are. But they're not nearly as important as God. So when we make him first, when we make him part of our life, it becomes, and he becomes who we want and what we need. Let me ask this question to you. If you truly want to be devoted to Jesus, what are you going to do? Nothing's going to change in your life unless you make a plan to change it. I'm a leadership guru. I love to read leadership books, and I'm awestruck how many good leaders never got to the position of leadership. And the majority of those people, good people, good-hearted people, people had wonderful ideas, and they never got there. You know why they never got there? They never had a plan. They never knew what to do. See, today, if you're sitting here and you're saying, listen, I know I need to be devoted to Jesus. I know he needs to be number one in my life. I know he needs to be the most important person in my life. Then what are you going to do to change? What are you going to do? How is that true? If that is true and that is where you want to be, then let's today, in your mind, with God, prayerfully, make a plan to change. Because if you don't make a plan, nothing's going to change. It's always going to remain the same. You're going to wake up tomorrow and do the exact same thing that you did today. And then the next day, and then the next day, it'll be like the Groundhog Day, right? We'll be doing the same thing over and over and over again. What's your game plan for change? How are you going to change? I'm going to ask Corey to come forward. The simple truth is that we don't plan on changing. In our minds, we have this idea like we want to change, but very few of us actually plan on changing. Very few of us lay out a plan and say, this is how I'm going to get from A to B in my faith. And let me say something that may be shocking to you. Getting closer to Jesus doesn't start with coming to church more often. Do we want you here more often? Yeah, absolutely we do. But you know what it starts with? It starts with going before Him and having a relationship with Him, asking Him into your heart. I'm going to put this up one last time. Let's not give God what's left over, but let's give God, let God be part of your life, not just part of your life. Let Him be your life. Let Him be everything that's inside of you, everything that you are. Your job, your hobbies, your life, your family, all those things start with Him. They don't, it's time that we as Americans and as Christians, if you are here today, when I say that word Christian, what I mean by that is that you have accepted Jesus Christ on the cross for your sins. You've accepted what He did on that cross for your sins. You've said, I'm asking you, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Let me repent from that. Let me turn away from that. I need you. Come into my heart. Come into my life. That's what it means to be a Christian. But if you're here today and you call yourself a Christian, but then your devotion to Him can't be measured or isn't measured in minutes compared to the hours that you spend in everything else, then may I ask you to reevaluate that devotion? May I ask you to decide whether that's truly where you think you are or where you should be? And then if it's not, I ask you to make a plan. How are you going to become more devoted to Him? What are you going to do? Are you going to get up earlier in the day? Before the kids get up, just to spend an extra 5 or 10 minutes or 20 minutes in prayer before the Lord? Are you going to shut off the TikTok videos? That hurts, Corey. Shut off the TikTok videos and say, I'm going to open up my Bible instead. How about the time that you spend? Listen, I once asked my wife, I said, my wife drives to Cuyahoga Falls from Ravenna every single day for work, and it's about 36 miles, 40, 45 minutes a day. I said, man, that's a lot of time. I said, what do you do? She goes, you know, sometimes I'm talking to people on the phone, I'm calling them. I said, as long as you're not texting while you're driving, right? She goes, sometimes I'm listening to a station. She goes, but most of all, I use that time for my devotion time. My time that I can seek the Lord. And I said, please tell me that you pray with your eyes open when you're driving, right? Truth of the matter is again, all of us have 168 hours in our week. It's your decision what you do with those 168 hours and where you put that time and energy into. God doesn't want part of your life. He wants your life. He wants you to be based in Him. Will you stand with me, please? Today you have a choice to give God what's left over, to give God everything. Maybe you're here today and you've never asked Jesus into your life as your personal Savior. You never sought after Him and asked Him for repentance and asked Him for forgiveness of the sins that are in your life. If that's you today, then we're going to give you a chance here in a moment to ask that. Whether you're here with us or you're watching at home online, you're going to have a chance to ask Jesus into your heart. What does that mean? That means that in Romans 10, verse 9, it says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and that we ask Him for forgiveness, we repent of our sins, that He will come and be inside of us. We will ask Him to be our King, our Savior, to be inside of our hearts. And when we seek Him, not only with our mouth, but with our faith, with our minds and our hearts, then He will be with us. Perhaps maybe you're here today and you've already said those words, but you found yourself and your lack of devotion to Jesus waning. Maybe other things have filled your time. May I encourage you today to make a choice in this very time, in this very place, before we end today, to say, I'm going to change that. I'm going to change the amount of time that I spend with Him. I'm going to make Him proud. I'm going to be devoted to Him. And when I say that, that's not just by words, but that's actually in action and deed too. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you are and all that you will be. Lord, as we're here today, we know that there may be some that are either here with us or watching at home online that has never given their life to Jesus Christ before, has never asked him into their heart. Why is that important? We believe that's important because that is our sign of spending eternity in heaven with you. That is our guarantee that when we repent of our sins and we ask you for your forgiveness, that you will usher us into this kingdom of heaven and with you for eternity when our last breath is taken here on this earth. And so we ask you, Father, if there's anyone here or watching at home online that's never done that, may today be this day where they would say, as Romans 10 verse 9 says, I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that he died on the cross for me. I repent and I turn away from my sins. I ask you into my heart to be my King and my Savior. Perhaps you're here today and you've already said those words. If you have just said those words, congratulations. Welcome into the kingdom of heaven with God and with all of us. But if you're here today and you're like me and you know that there's some things in your life you need to change. That word devotion rings true in my heart, and I know that my time that I need to be spending with Jesus hasn't been where it needs to be. Then maybe today could be the day that you say, I'm going to make this commitment, and I'm going to make a plan to change. And so, Father, I pray for those that are in that place today, that are here with us, that are saying, I need to make a new devotion, a new plan to getting closer to you. Then may today, Lord, may they feel your presence. May they be invited into this kingdom of heaven with you again. To spend eternity with you. May we learn to develop and may we learn to live our life in you in everything that we do and we say. May we be truly devoted to you, Father. May the numbers not lie. May we learn to be Christian first, a follower of God first. And then everything else starts with that. May we not learn to separate our life, but may we incorporate our faith into everything we do, Father. And may you guide us and direct us in all things. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship together.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. In all my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. In all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am breathing, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
168 hours. I realize for some of you moms and dads out there that have little ones, you're like, well, you didn't say anything about taking care of my kids, so where does that fall into it? Leave them out on their own. They'll be okay. No, I'm kidding. Don't do that. truth of the matter is that if we're not Christian first, if we're not a follower of Jesus first, we're doing harm to our children. The best mom, the best dad, the best papa, the best Lala, the best grandma, the best Mimi that you can be is a follower of Jesus Christ first. Following Him. The best employer that you can be for the job that you work on is to be a follower of Jesus Christ first. The best husband you can be, the best wife you can be, is to start with a follower of Jesus Christ. And then everything else flows out of that. As we're devoted to Jesus, I think somewhere in Scripture, Jesus says, be devoted to your husband and your wife, right? I think somewhere in Scripture, it says, be devoted to your kids. I think somewhere in Scripture, it says, be the best employer that your best employee that your employer would have. All of these things happen within our faith with Jesus Christ, but it starts with Him. Let's not separate our faith from all of those other things. Let's start on the cornerstone of Jesus Christ and build everything else from there, because that's what matters most. Father, we thank You for this day. We glorify You, we honor You, we praise You, because You deserve that and so much more. Father, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us for being devoted to so many other things besides You. Help this to be our wake-up call, to place You first on the altar of our life, where we can exalt You in all things, in all ways. We give You the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen and amen. God bless you all. If you have any prayer requests, we would love to have an opportunity to pray for you. Otherwise, be blessed. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you again next week. God bless.